Open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is where we're going to find our text tonight. And we are going to talk about Go Tell It on the Mountain. And it is Christmas time for some of us. It's been Christmas time since Halloween. And others of you, I don't know, for some weird reason, want to hold out till after Thanksgiving. Pray for you. It's no secret that I love Christmas time. I love the lights of Christmas. I love Christmas movies. I love the message of Christmas. I love Christmas trees. I know that's probably not kosher for some pastors to say. That's something a lot of people like to debate about, that those are evil or whatever. But I'll just confess to anybody who wants to judge me tonight, I like Christmas trees. I like real Christmas trees. I like fake Christmas trees. I like Little Debbie Christmas trees. And all the people said, amen. All right. I love Christmas time activities. Sometimes we like to make gingerbread houses and do things like that. A lot of things to love about Christmas. Above all, the message, amen, that Christ brought us salvation, that blessed Christmas morn. Amen. And starting tonight, Sunday, the next few weeks, we're going to have the joy of looking into the scriptures about the promises of Messiah and his birth. Amen. The power of his life and his death and resurrection, the purpose behind why he came, and I'm excited for that. I love the message of Christmas. I love the music of Christmas. I like to listen to Christmas songs all year long. This song that we sang just a moment ago, Go Tell It on the Mountain, history tells us that it was originally sung by slaves in these United States of America. It's what some people refer to as a spiritual. In the middle of their toil and suffering, they heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many slaves in America trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They trusted in him, crucified and risen again. They heard of the King who came to save sinners and set the captives free. They believed his word and they sang of his redemption. Amen. Even though they were still slaves, they were singing about the liberty, the freedom that they had in Christ. Many of them trusted in him and lived with the hope of his salvation in their hearts and on their lips, as they proclaimed the Savior's salvation and exhorted others to proclaim his salvation. This song was first printed in a folk song book back in 1909. It was something that was sung. Obviously, wasn't published by those who were slaves, but praise God, when they were set free, when slavery was abolished in this country, they were able to go and to sing and to share those things. There was a university called Fisk University that was about to close down. And in order, last ditch effort to save their university, they took all the money they had left in their coffers, and a small group of them went around the country singing. And they had a man in their university that talked them into singing spirituals, because before that had only been done on the plantations, that had only been done in the slaves' churches. They didn't sing their spirituals outside of that, and somebody convinced them to, and God used that, and they went around the country for 18 months and were able to save that university. And it kind of caught on to other universities. Black universities in the early 1900s went around singing spirituals. And that's why some of them are even in our hymnals today. And if you'll notice, sometimes it'll just say that it's a spiritual when it's cited. There's not a lot of details about the history, who wrote it and where it came from. But I just loved it. We sang those last two verses. When I was a seeker, I sought both night and day. I asked the Lord to help me, and he showed me the way. And then we sang, he made me a watchman upon the city wall. That's referring to Isaiah 21. And he says, if I am a Christian, I am the least of all. And all through the message of that song, it's all about go tell it on the mountain. Go tell everyone. Go proclaim to the world that Christ is born, that he brings salvation, that he brings life. And what a heart. What a heart for them to sing those praises. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And those who would say, the history would say, go tell it on the mountain, would begin at Zion, that they who have found liberty would go to Zion, go to the mountain of God and proclaim liberty there. Now, Isaiah was writing to a people who were about to be taken into captivity, and he was telling them in the last part of the book of Isaiah, he's telling them of a future of redemption, that Messiah is coming, that freedom will come. You're going to be captives, but you will be set free. You're going to be taken away, but you'll be brought home. Amen. And we know the fulfillment of it. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke 4, 16. It says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now listen, Jesus is in the synagogue like he always was, and there would be a time in synagogue where anyone would have an opportunity. Any of the Jewish men would have an opportunity to stand up and say something. And so he stood up, he gets the scroll of Isaiah, and he opens up and he finds this portion of scripture, and he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And Luke records this, and he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in a synagogue were fastened on him. And I want you to get this. There were hundreds, probably, men in that synagogue there. Jesus stands up. They all know who he is. They know. They've got an idea of what people are saying about him. And he stands up and he reads from Isaiah, and then he sits down, and everybody is glued in on Jesus. Like they are waiting to see what he's going to say. And the Savior says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Amen. Now there would be some in that room that day who would not believe in Jesus. There would be some who would reject him and despise him and be the very ones who would call for him to be crucified a few years later. But listen, there were many in that room who had been longing for Messiah to come. There were many in that room had known the promises of Isaiah and other scriptures since they were little bitty. They'd been hearing that he was coming. They'd been longing for Messiah. They knew these scriptures. And when Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, listen, their hearts leapt with joy. There were some in that room that day who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he said, this day it's here, it's fulfilled, they believed. Their hearts were filled with faith and their lives were filled with joy. Amen. I want to tell you that you and I ought to have hearts filled with joy. Amen. Because as they looked for him to come and he came in their day, we get to look back and know that he did come. Amen. And having not seen yet believing, we rejoice. Amen. We rejoice. Jesus proclaimed the gospel and deliverance. Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one. Remember, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He was the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. He was sent by God to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He preached the acceptable year of the Lord. So Jesus proclaimed the gospel. He proclaimed deliverance. But listen, Jesus didn't just proclaim it. He provided it. He didn't just preach the gospel, he is the gospel. He didn't just preach about deliverance. He gave deliverance. He preached the good news of what he would do. He healed. He delivered. He recovered. He set free. He proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, we know exactly what that's referring to. Isaiah 49 and verse 8 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages." And then we go to the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians 6:2, and he says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in accepted time, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Jesus preached the acceptable year of the Lord. That's when he comes, because he provides salvation. And now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Ephesians 1:6 says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." The day, the acceptable day of the Lord is this, friends. It's today. It's the day you believe in Christ, who came from God, who lived a sinless life, who gave that life sacrificially at Calvary for your sins, amen, was buried and rose again the third day. And if you've never been born again, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You don't have God in your life. You don't have hope in this world. And the only thing you have to look forward to is the wrath of God that already abides on you. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Christ came. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Amen. Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. He died for you. He rose again. And the gospel he preached, he lived out, because he died. He rose again, and he forgives all who believe. He gives life to all who believe. And you can call on his name and be saved tonight. And if you are saved, listen. If Christ proclaimed what he would do, how much more should we proclaim what he has already done? Amen. Amen. He came and proclaimed, preached what he would do, and then he did it. And now we who believe get to look back at what he's done, and we get to proclaim it to others. Amen. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I don't know how many of you watch the news regularly or read the news online. I've told you before, I don't watch much news because it just takes too long. There's too many commercials. I get most of my news online, and the things that I read that happen in our country every day are overwhelming to me. Amen. Just the headlines. Amen. And then things that are hidden from the news, things that you'll never see unless you're on social media and engage with people who are active. Babies are being murdered every day. Amen. In homes. Little boys and little girls. They're being flushed down their toilets at home. Amen. There's so much evil and so much violence and so much hatred in this world. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's just overwhelming. Amen. But listen to me. We have the answer. Jesus Christ came a light in the darkness. And maybe it sounds a little cliche to you, but I say this, I agree with this that I heard a long time ago, the greater the darkness, the brighter the light. And if we will go and proclaim, go tell it on the mountain, go tell the world that Christ has come, go tell them that Christ has come, the mighty to save, that he is the way of salvation, we can bring glad tidings of good things to all people because Christ has come. You know what the answer to all the wickedness and evil and violence in this world is? It's not a political answer. It's not a financial answer. It's not an educational answer. The gospel is the only answer. The only thing that can save our nation or the nations of the world, the only thing that can save our state, the only thing that can save our county, the only thing that can save our town, the only thing that can save your family and your friends and your classmates and your coworkers, the only thing that can save is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is the answer. And it's the answer we have the joy of proclaiming. The answer we have the joy of proclaiming. Tonight I want to do something a little different. And I'm not going to have our musicians come, because I just want you to respond to the Spirit of God and the Word of God tonight. And without worrying about coming up to the front or anything, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads in prayer right where you're at. Everybody, please, just go to God in prayer right now. And respond in faith and obedience to the call to proclaim the good news of the gospel. If anybody here has never trusted Christ as your Savior, tonight you can repent and believe the gospel, understanding that Christ died for you, that He paid the price for your sins, and you can call on His name. If you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would trust in Him and call on His name, He'll give you everlasting life. If you are saved, ask God to give you the courage and the grace to go to others and tell them of Jesus, to have the courage and compassion to be a witness for others. Merciful Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, Lord, you know my heart. You know how overwhelmed I am by the wickedness and darkness I see. How hopeless our country and our world seem sometimes. And forgive me for having those thoughts, because I know we are not without hope. That hope came, that light and life came through our Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would encourage my heart tonight and the hearts of every believer to know to be reminded of the hope of the gospel, Lord, to be reminded of the power of the gospel to save. Encourage our hearts, Lord, and help us to be faithful witnesses everywhere we go in our lives, Lord, to shine the light of the gospel into our lives and everyone that we come in contact with, to be bold in our witness, to have the joy of the Lord as our strength each day in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the wickedness that surrounds us, that we would boldly lift up the name of Christ, that we would boldly proclaim His death and resurrection is the only way of salvation. Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses for you. I pray that you bless our every effort as we talk to our friends and family members and neighbors and the people we meet, as we hand out gospel tracts, Lord, that you'll bless the published word, whether it's spoken or written, however we can get the gospel out, by talking to people, by posting the truth and social media, Lord, whatever we do, I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to get the gospel to others. And I pray your Spirit would work in their hearts, that they would repent and believe. And Lord, I just pray that your will and your way would be done in our lives. Help us to be a church that is striving to make disciples through preaching the gospel to others. Please forgive our sin where we've been apathetic, where we've fallen short, and help us to be more faithful day by your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.